All right. It sounds like you are looking for another...
Sarah, hold on one second.
What?
I watched you on Like It or Not last night.
Yes.
And I was offended. Completely offended.
Oh, now, because of the glasses comment.
Yeah, you said people who wear glasses aren't attractive. I don't wear them all the time, but I have them on now just for you. Not that anyone can see because we don't film the podcast, but anyway.
I feel like glasses are a little out, don't you think?
Yeah, but I'm not getting contacts. What a pain.
Why not? Why? Because do you have the graduated, so it's like it's hard to get contacts or?
I haven't even gone that far.
They're out. They're out.
That's a hot take. I like it. Glasses are out.
Our lion producer, our Like It or Not producer, Corey, clearly looks better without glasses. And
although I thought Loki looked better with them.
I did too. I thought Loki looked better with glasses. But I think Marina Morocco, I think, did have the best take, which is it's just the novelty, right? If you see somebody with glasses on every day and then they don't have them, they look like different. It's kind of
also,
unique.
Also, you know what? You got to have good glass game.
Yeah, you do. Game. You do.
You can't have like dorky glasses. You know, spend the money, get great frames, make sure they look good on your face. So I have a big fat head, so I have to have like, you know, I can't have little tiny like, you know, specs. I have to have like real glasses.
Well, then people were tweeting me and saying, doesn't your husband wear glasses? Like, how can you say glasses are out? Which is true. Dan wears glasses. Yeah. So, but yeah, I was like, you know what? I actually think because so many people wear awful glasses. You're right. And that round like Harry Potter glasses kind of look is in right now. It's like, no, it looks so bad on people.
Yeah. Like, it also depends on your age.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I have a pair of glasses for each outfit. No, I don't. I'm not kidding.
I was going to say that's actually kind of cool. Good. See, you got good glasses game. all right. Well, where do you want to begin?
There's a lot going on.
I mean, tons. Yeah.
The queen. The queen is dead.
I know. 90. Wait, what did you tell? I should know this, but I'm
96.
96. Okay.
Yeah. She's been in power since, 53, I believe, 52, 53. She was born in 1926. So I'm not a big monarch. America seems to just go bonkers with all this stuff. Obviously, it's the end of an era. She was in, she was queen for... I think I heard this stat this morning, 1/3 of the U.S. history.
I know. Isn't that nuts? Isn't that crazy? I mean,
think about that.
It's mind boggling, right? I mean, so 90. OK, so she would have been born World War.
She was born in 26.
OK, OK. So, you know, she's young, World War One, then World War Two. Obviously, she's, you know, she lives through that. I mean, yeah, you think of all the history that we've had. I mean,
yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, everybody in our history, from Martin Luther King being assassinated, JFK, Vietnam, I mean, you know, World War One, World War Two. I mean, she's, yeah, it's a lot. It's kind of crazy.
It is a lot. It's going to sound terrible, like, but I'm enough now though, right? Don't you think? Like, I mean.
Now when you put in how many years she lived and what she lived through, no. Now I'm like, give her a month of celebration.
I think they are. I mean, it's so quick story. I was in Austin, Texas over the weekend.
Mm.
Great, great city, by the way. I was fortunate to go to the Texas-Alabama game, which turned out to be just an unbelievable game. What an experience. 103,000 people. Austin was cranking. They close off all the streets around the stadium on campus. It's an on-campus stadium.
Okay.
Tailgating everywhere. Fox was there with their big noon kickoff, which is great. The game was on Fox. And so we played golf on Friday before the game with I went with my son-in-law. And we got paired up with this awesome couple. Like, absolutely awesome couple.
Okay.
And just so happens they were celebrating their 50th anniversary on the day.
All right.
They,
I love
they
it.
They decided to come from London with another couple who didn't play golf. And let's go to Austin, Texas for our 50th anniversary from London. Direct flight, British Air. Great. So we're playing, and they're just awesome. You could tell right out of the gate. Nicest couple, chatting, da da
Oh,
da.
and the English, they can drink, right? So, I mean, they're probably already
Oh,
drinking. I mean,
yeah.
they're like
Drinking.
ridiculous. I
Well,
know.
he was already, the guy, they were both seemed already hungover from the night before.
Yeah,
And
the
we didn't tee
English
off
always
till,
are.
and by the way, we didn't tee off early. It was like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, but you could tell, like, obviously, we talked about the Queen, and they were calling friends who were in London who were heading to Buckingham Palace to try to, you know, pay their respects, shake hands with King Charles, you know, now King Charles. And it was, you could just tell it was real to them. Like, it was like a loss. Like, you could tell it was definitely
Yeah.
impactful. I mean, he was, I think, 72, 73. His name was David. And he said, you know, he was born in like what, 49, I think, or 48. And, you know, she was queen since 52. So, like, his entire life, she's the queen. And there's no real power there. There's some,
No, not really anymore, right? Kind of smoke and mirrors,
no,
although it used to be, right?
they get some, you know, some societal things. They get some, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, there, I think, isn't the prime minister always supposed to technically consult with the queen, like I think on major decisions? I don't think they really
I don't
do,
think
but
so anymore. I don't
yeah.
think that's hap yeah. I don't think that happens anymore. But so anyway, yeah, the Queen on you know, Queen Elizabeth, 1926 to 2022. But
I
I'm
think
not
I've
sure.
respected her more, you know, in reading about her in death than like in real life. Just, you know, how much she did govern through, you know, difficult things and
I will say though, there is a lot of people on Twitter, and again,
yeah, what do you think?
I didn't go down the rabbit hole because, you know, she's not my queen, and in the end, I don't know enough to even weigh in. But there's a lot of people who don't love the. They say there's a history of racism. There's a history of
Colonialism.
colonialism. Good call. I read an article that, and again, I have no idea if it's true or not, that there was two nieces, I believe, who were had special needs, or who they kind of banished to like a home and like literally just basically forgot about them from the public eye. So yeah, listen, I'm sure every family and ruling family in this case has some of that stuff. So but hey, listen, people are coming out in droves, paying their respects. Now we got King Charles. So there we
I
go.
know. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I think the question is, will the monarchy ever have the same, I don't know, I guess allure that it did
With the
with
queen
her?
versus king.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, overarching maybe, but certainly I don't think King Charles will ever have the standing respect, you know, that she had for sure.
And are
One
you?
he can't serve that long, he'll be dead. But listen, you know, it'll be interesting to see if, let's say, you know, something was to happen to Charles in the next, you know, 10 years or five, whatever. I mean, I don't know how old he is, probably mid
I think
70s,
he's
I'm
going to be in his
guessing.
70s, yeah.
You know, then it goes to Andrew, right?
No, does it? I thought it goes to William, his son.
I mean, William,
Yeah.
sorry, Andrew's the
I
other,
was going to say Andrew's the one that
the one that
potentially
probably
may
should
be
be
in
in jail,
jail.
right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, William, Prince William, and then his sons, and yeah, so Harry will never get a crack at it, it doesn't look like.
Or did you follow any of the Harry and Meghan? I really don't follow any of that drama. I don't
No,
really care. I
I don't
know.
care. I could not care less.
I actually tend to agree with you. I don't know why, because I really enjoy celebrity, but I don't care at all, I guess. Yeah, I just don't care. I don't know why. I guess it is, I think it is like you realize what a, you know, they are just celebrities, really. And, you know, they're also a celebrity
Is
machine.
she, and listen, she's not, she wasn't a celeb, was she even really a celebrity? I mean,
Meghan
she was on
Markle wasn't.
Suits. She was on Suits.
She was a Deal or No Deal model for a while as well. She got that gig.
I don't know what that is.
Remember that show, Deal or No Deal, and they had the suitcases, and they'd have all the beautiful hot women like holding the suitcases. So she was a suitcase model for a while, and then Suits, I think, was it. No, she wasn't a well-known. So nobody knew who she was until she married.
She was good on Suits, but okay, she was a B-minus actress. But man, listen, good for her. She's now what is she?
Well, she's made the most of it.
They gave up all their titles, right?
I think they did give up all their titles, yeah, in moving to the United States or something. And
yeah. So anyway, Texas was awesome. And yeah, the Queen. There we go. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, those celebrations we know are going to continue. That was obvious. That did, you know, capture all the headlines basically the entire week, right? But what else? I mean, what other things are going on that you want to get into? I mean, I don't know how much you've...
So the final the final primaries of the season were yesterday in Rhode Island, Delaware, New Hampshire. So here we go. We are, 8 weeks from yesterday to Election Day. As we've been discussing over the last 6 weeks to 2 months, I think it's tighter than the Republicans had thought it was going to be. I think the Dems overall are sitting in a much better position than they had thought.
Yeah.
Back in March.
Way
when the
better,
primary
right?
season, and not because of policy. I had this argument with someone yesterday. Not one policy is helping them. None. It's the ineptness of the Republicans. Bad Senate candidates. Endorsed by Trump. I don't agree that it should come from the president with the tone it is about the MAGA people, right? Because I think there's a lot of people who either voted for Trump or voted for that agenda truly because they wanted America better. And I don't think they're all right wing. By no means are they all. 71 million people voted for Trump. But from a political messaging standpoint, you know, we're in the fight for democracy. They're trying to go into your bedrooms. They're taking away your choice with the Roe v. Wade and some of these ridiculously draconian abortion legislation. I think the House is going to be touch and go. And I do think the Dems will actually gain in the Senate, which no one back in March, no one thought that was possible.
Oh my God.
Right?
It was going to be like,
I think Herschel's in trouble. Oz, although Fetterman, as I've said, is in my opinion, a nothing candidate, but I just think they haven't packaged Oz correctly. He looks like an outsider. He looks like an elitist, even though as an individual, he's accomplished a ton in life, heart surgeon, business person.
Oh my God, accomplished author. I mean, a lot of things.
Yeah,
you know,
I know Dr. Oz personally, and he's a very good human being, right? He reached out when my dad was sick with COVID, called the hospital directly. So I bring some bias to that conversation. And, you know, I look at a Fetterman and I'm like, he's done nothing. Literally done nothing. But having said that, I think they've done a good job or Oz's team hasn't done a very good job at, you know, saying what he could bring to the table, plus the endorsement of Trump. So I think you got J.D. Vance in Ohio, Oz, you got McMaster's, I think is in Arizona, is in trouble to Kelly. What scares me, though, is, you know, if the Dems get 51, 52, I think if they could get to 52, they don't have to worry about Manchin or Sinema when it comes to the filibuster. So you may see that go away. And now that's where I do hope the Republicans take the House to hopefully, you know, stop any crazy legislation or just runaway legislation. But yesterday was not a good day for the Dems either. So President Biden and the White House said, we're going to have a celebration at the White House for the passing of the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which really is the climate tax bill, and we're going to add, IRS agents to go and harass taxpaying citizens. On the same day, August inflation came in much higher than they anticipated, 8.3%, up from July, obviously up 8.3% from last August. Groceries, I think that's the category, was up 13.5% from last year. People are paying 13.5% more for necessities of life. And
And don't you
he
think it's
and
going
he
to,
cut, go ahead.
no, I was going to say, don't you think it's going to get worse? I mean, the feds came out yesterday, right? Aren't they going to, they're going to increase the interest rates.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, don't you think we have any, it's not even really going to hit till like, probably first of next year. And I mean,
Yeah, I think it's going to get worse.
things
And
are going to get
listen,
bad, I think.
you can make, listen, inflation's bad in Europe. It's bad. It's bad everywhere. But at the same time, you got this boondoggle of a spending bill called Inflation Reduction Act. It's not going to reduce inflation. Nothing in it is going to reduce inflation. It's potentially going to increase inflation. And he's running off sending, the White House and his Twitter account is trying to make yesterday somehow, because it was, only up 0.1 from July, some success. Listen, the border's a disaster. Crime in major cities is just rampant. I mean, just rampant.
You retweeted that article. I mean, that was pretty scathing from the Washington Post. That was
Yeah.
like enough already. Like how much more? I mean, you had the Commanders player that was involved in violent crime. You've had people like literally just raking their lawn. Not that I'm not using the correct example, but anyway, I mean, the crime rate is so out of control in DC. Homicides up the highest they've been in, I don't know how many, a decade or something. And yet, like this article for the Post calls out Mayor Bowser, calls out, everybody there at the city council and how they won't use any strong language. It's all about, these insane bail, no cash bails anymore. They
No
want to
cash
get rid of
bail, no bail.
carjacking as a violent crime. It's like, everybody I think now is for as much as possible equality for people. Nobody wants to see somebody go to jail for 25 years anymore for marijuana possession. I mean, we're beyond that. But I mean, it's just like, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? I mean, you guys, in the neighborhoods that you fight for, people are scared to death. And it's like they pretend like, oh, yeah, we're,
I mean, it's bad in every city. In defense of Mayor
everyone.
Bowser, I do think early on she wasn't a defund the police person. She right out of the gate, she supported the chief at that time,
Newsom,
Chief Newsom. The DC City Council is an abomination. And I don't say that lightly. They're completely out of touch for the most part. They are. I.
I know. I
They're.
don't know
It's
who would live.
actually embarrassing and insulting how bad the DC City Council is. But you go city by city by city. I told you, I was in Philadelphia, New York. Just terrible, terrible. And you got these very liberal, progressive prosecutors in many of these cities who were, funded by left-leaning, rich donors on the
Who, of course,
who
crime doesn't impact, who
absolutely who have 37 security guards,
live
right,
in the
armed.
Pacific Palisades, which is like the
Right.
richest neighborhood here in Los Angeles that no one can afford. So they don't ever have to see it, but everybody else has to. I mean, it's been a crazy week here in LA. First of all, Karen Bass, who's running for mayor, her house was robbed, two guns, and then she said, oh, I still feel safe. It's like unbelievable. Then that rapper, PNB, was
Get shot in a, was it a
in a
Roaster's?
Waffle
What's it
House,
called?
Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, very
Roscoe's.
famous. And I thought, and I don't understand how people don't just are not in the streets. I mean, you have the police chief coming out, and of course, it's not just him, it's from the DA in the mayor's office saying, you know, they don't wear expensive jewelry. Don't post your location. They never come out. The jewelry that you worked hard for, okay, that you shouldn't be able to wear. Don't post your, they never come out and say, you know what? We're going to give $50,000 reward.
They were trying to blame his girlfriend for posting, for geolocating or posting with the geolocator on the Instagram post.
How people are not in the streets going, wait a minute. How about a $50,000 reward for any information immediately off the top that leads to his arrest? How about we guarantee we're going to prosecute whoever they did it to the fullest? We're going to go for life. Start sending a message. How about the police here and the DA's office, because it isn't from the police. It's coming from higher than that. They never come out and say that. They always blame the citizens. Don't wear your Rolex watch that you've worked so hard for.
Do you remember when old white men Republicans tried to blame women because they got raped based on what they wore, and you know, their skirt was too high or their blouse was too tight, and you were like, what are you talking about? They should be able to walk down the street and wear whatever the heck they want and not get raped. It's the opposite of that now. Don't wear jewelry. Don't go out. Now, listen, it's good to have tips to be safe, but it's almost victim blaming now.
Oh, I think it is. I mean, I just cannot believe for that rapper's, you know, murder, that they had the audacity to come out and say that about the girlfriend who, you know, has lost, everything. It's just, it's mind-blowing here. It's mind-blowing in a mayoral race that the candidate is robbed and then, I feel safe. Are you crazy? I mean, how are people not up in arms
what
here?
What is it, though? Are they so afraid?
Because people don't, there's too much going on in people's lives. They don't care about politics. They've got their blinders on. And look, I feed people pop culture all day, but people would rather read about the housewives than they would their local government.
What I meant was from a political standpoint.
All right, we're rant on.
Why is Karen Bass so afraid to say the reality? Because the progressives won't vote for her?
You tell me, because I think she has probably top funding from, like you said, incredibly progressive liberal people who have an agenda, which is, you know, I think they want, I understand they want equality. They want to, I think, make right people of color who have been oppressed and are behind financially, some, not all, some, in this country. So I think they have this agenda of, you know, getting rid of things like cash bail, of victim blaming, of saying to wealthy people it's so weird. It's almost like there's this pocket of rich people who want other rich and middle class. I think it doesn't matter if you're white, black. They want you to pay. They want you to be the victim.
So
I think it's almost a retribution.
I was listening to this podcast the other day driving, and his name is Konstantin Kissin. I think it's K-I-S-I-N. Author, writer from Europe, from London, former Russian immigrant into the West, just has a wealth of perspective on being oppressed, being an immigrant. And he made the point, I'm not going to do it justice, but he said the problem with progressives is they think there's a utopia, right? We know there's systemic racism, right? We know it, right? And it's gotten 100 times better in this country, but it's still a long way to go, right? A long way to go. Capitalism has some faults.
Totally.
There's corporate greed. We get that. But as an alternative, it's probably the best alternative to socialism. And you could go issue by issue by issue. And some people just aren't perfect. Society is not going to be perfect. But you have to protect the people who are doing or trying to do right. You have to give them a chance to not be vilified if they don't agree with the political left or the progressive left, I should say. So it was very interesting take. I try to listen to, I listen to a wide range of people, left of feminism people and right of,
Oh, you're so good. I'm becoming completely narrow-minded. I
try not to be.
Oh, you're good.
Because
I am.
I, you know,
And again, I only listen to people that agree with me.
I may cringe the entire hour.
I can't
I honestly may want to jump through my screen on the podcast.
It fires me up so much. But it's good to know the counter argument. Yeah.
It is. It's also good to know where sometimes people come from, right? But you have to protect your citizens. You have to protect society. Everything just can't be. Some people are just bad. They commit bad crimes. They should go to jail. Simple, right? So I think we try to overcomplicate this sometimes. And we end up in this, we try to twist ourselves in pretzels with every issue, whether it's, you know, you and I've talked about the transgender issues, whether it's jail reform, whether it's, paying taxes, corporate taxes on both sides, abortion. It's frustrating that
it is. And you hope like there'll be a turn, towards the center in this country. And it is going to be interesting with the midterms. I mean, I do always think, President Trump lost only, and I am not a Trump fan, but, he only lost in some states by like 21,000 votes to President Biden. I mean, people are conservative. And we saw from the 2020 elections, people of all different color backgrounds are conservative too, even though I think the progressives try to make it out like they're not. But I mean, you saw Miami-Dade County, which is predominantly Hispanic. I mean, they all went Trump. I mean, to a middle ground.
The way we do elections, there's a binary choice. You have to pick one or the other. And just because you pick one doesn't mean you agree. Listen, right. I'm sure there's a lot of people who have voted for Trump twice. On whatever issues they are most important to them, just believe that Biden and the progressive Democrats are a worse alternative for them personally, or for their city, or for their state, or for their town, or for their kids, whatever. So to vilify them as MAGA this and MAGA that, I just think is wrong. And I have a person that we communicate all the time. I say he's liberal. He says he's left of center. And he does it all the time. He tries to paint everyone on the right. What does that mean? Like everyone on the right. Right of what? Like there's far right. There's extremists. There's radicals on both sides. Then there's right of center. There's traditional Republican conservative values and thoughts, similar as moderate Democratic thoughts, social Democrat versus fiscal conservative. So there's a wide spectrum. If you put it on a line, I still think most Americans are left of center right now. I think, as I said, 10 years ago, I think they were right of center. I think they're left of center. But, anyway.
It is heated and interesting to debate. What did you think though of my pillow guy? Yesterday had his phone seized by the FBI. Yeah. I mean, what do you think? They continue this investigation with links to Trump. Apparently, obviously, we know that. But we still haven't seen like any charges come towards Trump or anything. But they obviously are investigating people very close to him. So, any updated thoughts?
No, I think it hasn't changed since last week. I think that Trump getting the special
Oh yes, I know. Oh, I know. I know. I don't know what the title is, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, so I think it's going to slow things down. There has to be charges at this point. Otherwise, I think the FBI and the DOJ is going to look just truly idiotic. There has to be charges. If they don't end up with enough evidence to get an indictment, then you have to start thinking what was this really about? You have to start.
I mean, there have to be charges, don't you think? I mean, I just don't even let myself.
I think there has to be for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But yeah, I
I
mean,
do.
but they don't you feel like, okay, I mean, they know that, don't you think? I mean, they have to, they know that. They know this is like a political game of chess. I mean, they do know. They have to just be trying to get as much to charge him with everything they can. But they know they would, don't you think they're smart enough not to raid him and all that if they didn't think there were charges going to be brought? Because this is like the third big investigation at this point. You know, we had
Yeah,
Ukraine,
and the
we
first two
had
fail.
the impeachment. I know, but at this one, I mean, three times a charm, maybe. I don't know. I mean, they got
I
to.
don't know, we'll see. Yeah, it's, I think there has to be charges. The problem is, the old rule of thumb is you don't indict somebody with political ties, even though he's not running necessarily. He's certainly the former president, has tons of influence on many candidates currently running, the voting block that supports him and his agenda, or whatever that is. So I don't think he'll be indicted before November. So then you start getting into next year. You got primary season will start, what, mid-June of next year ish, right? I guess, give or take. So, is there ever a right time to indict the former president of the United States who may be on the edge of announcing that he's running for president? I think they have a tight window here, right? I think that like November to March or April, my guess is if Trump's going to run, he's going to announce it right after the midterms.
Oh God, I hope he doesn't. I mean, I feel like that's what, yeah, I mean, they're trying to like time it, don't you think? So like he can't
Because I
run.
think he'll announce and then get indicted,
Oh.
and he'll claim, it was all politically motivated and yada, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And so I don't know.
I know. We want him to go away so badly. All right. What about there's
Did you
a
watch the Emmys?
I did. I was gonna say there's pop culture and
It
sports I
looks
wanna
like you're
ask you
the
about.
only one.
5 million down. They were down what? Well over a million. I think they had 6 point something with Cedric the Entertainer the year before. So now we're down to 5 million. What do you think? These are they going to move these things to just various streaming platforms and then eventually they go away?
Yeah, that's my guess.
Although 5 million, I mean, you're a TV exec. I mean,
Terrible.
that's
It's terrible.
really.
Terrible.
I was going to say I don't think that's that bad. I mean, Housewives and things they get like 1 million.
Terrible.
Okay, I still think that's pretty good numbers.
You and I have been saying this even pre-COVID, right? Going back to probably 2018, 19. Award shows are over. They're just self-serving. Bad television. They pat themselves on the back. They make so-called, and I'm putting in quotes, woke political speeches. They, no one cares about you. They don't. People have
No
real
one cares.
problems. I mean, listen, there's some great stories within the Emmys. I can't remember her name, but she won an Emmy at 65 years old for Abbott Elementary. First time she's what was nominated and won. Do you remember her? Do you not remember
No,
her
I
name?
don't. You know, I mean, I watched In and Out. I honestly, I don't know if I could even
But
tell
no.
you.
So absolutely, there's great stories within within these stories. Jimmy Kimmel making believe he was drunk, laying in the foot of the other winner from Abbott Elementary. They claim they're friends. It was just embarrassing. He took her moment. The whole thing is just icky to me. It's just like, I don't know.
Wow, not a fan of Hollywood here.
I just think it's not reality, right? And I think,
Point.
Pete.
You escape, you get to watch TV. I just wish, you know, there's got to be a way they can make it shorter. I don't know. You know, maybe it's not live.
Listen, I'm a
Maybe
fan
it's
of the shows. Ted Lasso won, love it. Elementary,
Succession.
Succession,
You love
Abbott
that show.
Elementary is a very funny show. White Lotus.
That was good. It was good.
Although I didn't like it as much as everyone else did, but it was good. Oh, listen, great television, but the award shows are dumb, dumb.
Well, I think in general, most people don't care. And I don't know how they could make it entertaining. It'll be interesting in the next 5 years. Although we've been saying, I feel like I've been saying this for 10 years. You know, you think they're going to go away. I don't think they are. I think it is Hollywood. Hollywood loves to celebrate Hollywood. I think
Hollywood loves to celebrate Hollywood. 5 million people. I think.
And that's, I feel like, enough for them. I think they're going to keep.
And with all the streaming going on, with the football, with so many, you know, alternatives from an entertainment perspective, I guess 5 million is the new norm, right? So yeah. I think you just have to reset expectations, and it's 5 million, and that's that. It is what it is, right?
I think you're right. What about sports? Any big sports stories going around? NFL, you know, obviously.
NFL's back. Great first week.
How'd the Commanders do, by the way? I didn't even pay attention. Did they win there? They didn't win,
so,
did they?
They won. They beat Jacksonville. They came back to win. They were down 8, came back and won. Stadium was probably 3/4 full. Ratings were good, though. They were.
Oh, I bet. I mean, people were excited for football. It was great. And, you know, it was, you know, don't you feel like it was super patriotic? It launched, you know, on September 11th.
On 9/11.
Yeah. 9/11.
So what do you think? So there was a whole bunch of articles how the New York Times, Washington Post, I believe it was the LA Times, didn't have any reference to 9/11 on their Sunday morning, either internet, or the front page.
No way. Really?
Correct. What do you think about that?
Well, it has been 21 years.
21 years.
It's been 21 years. It's been 21 years. And yet last year was huge. They did a lot for the 20th. Mm-hmm. I guess every year we do. Oh, my God, this is terrible. I'm drawing a blank. You know, what was the big bombing on in Hawaii that set us off to World War II?
Pearl Harbor.
You know, that one. You know, I mean, we still have Pearl Harbor Day, right? But, I mean, that was how many years ago? I mean, people do move on. I don't know. That doesn't bother me so much. I did think there is still a lot.
So what I thought was, I'm not saying there needs to be an article. And honestly, I wasn't that offended by it.
No, me neither.
Totally. I do think a little thing in the corner, like a little logo, like a with the towers or never forget something. To me, there's still shit. That was a turning point. There was Pearl Harbor and, you know, I still think there needs to be just something up in the right corner of the print edition or some sort of, you know, memorial or reference to the day. But I don't necessarily think there should be an article and, you know, all kinds of stuff on the front page. But I think they could put something in the corner. It's almost like they had to make the decision to not.
Yeah, I do.
So
think
that maybe offends me more than the fact that there wasn't, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a bunch of people sat in a room and said, do we put anything on the paper? Do we do anything? Do we not do anything? And they didn't. So therefore, like, okay. But
I don't know. Yeah. That one really doesn't bother me. I mean, I feel like, you know, I mean, I feel like as a nation for 20 years, right? I mean, nobody has forgotten. I mean, people have widows, children. I mean, they've done incredible specials. All the firefighters,
I mean, they still do the moment of silences. They still read the names.
I think it is. I think it's okay. I mean, I think in a little bit of a way, moving on is the wrong thing. Cause especially if you were in New York or you were in DC, I mean, you'll never, if you live through that, it's just one of those things you're always going to remember every single step. But I do think it's a little time.
Just think though, the New York Times, it happened in New York, the Washington Post, it happened in Washington, you know, maybe the LA Times doesn't run. I don't know. Anyway, just thought I'd bring it up.
What else?
Two more quick things.
Yeah.
I want to get, you know, so these are self-promotional things. Next Wednesday, the 21st,
okay.
Fox 5, you know, we have tremendous podcasts coming out of Fox 5. This one not included.
Minus this one.
Minus this, excluding this.
I mean, this is probably the longest running, but
it's definitely the longest running, but definitely excluding this.
Okay, all right. Well,
all kidding aside. So we've done some tremendous cold case, true crime podcasts. The one coming out next Wednesday is absolutely fantastic. It's 3 weeks of hell. It's the 20th anniversary of the DC Sniper.
Oh,
It's
wow.
Melanie Alwick, Bob Barnard are voicing it
Amazing
because they
people.
were both here covering it 20 years ago, and they're still here. It's really, really, really well done. And yeah, taking my GM hat off, it's something that you really it's riveting. It's very, very well done. So that launches next Wednesday. There's 10 episodes. And then this past Monday, we launched our Like It or Not lunch hour. We're calling Lion Lunch Hour at 11 a.m. It was number one in its time period
Okay,
on
wait.
the first day. Go ahead.
I want to know all about this show. Okay, it's gonna air. It airs. It's
It
starting
airs.
11 a.m. to noon time. Okay,
Correct.
Lion, which you've made such a success. I mean, I
Like it or
love
not,
Like It
yeah,
or Not.
the acronym for lot. Yeah, like it or not. Go ahead.
Such a fun show. It's an amazing show. Okay, it's usually 30 minutes, and we just go back and forth. Do you like this? Do you not? Okay, but what is so? Because this is sort of extended, right?
So
It's
it's
an
a little
hour long.
different. So it's similar. Conceptually, it's similar,
Okay.
but very different. So it's an hour. Marissa Mitchell and Aaron Como are their co-hosts. And then there's either a third or fourth guest of the day contributor. So usually it'll be one, somebody from the Real Housewives of DC or somebody from a radio show or a local, whatever, local celeb of some sort. And then a chef. And we're trying to be very different. So it could be a food truck chef, it can be, a gritty, cool place out in the suburbs. It could be a five-star, Michelin award-winning restaurant. And that chef or restaurant person, who's ever there, becomes part of the show as they're cooking a meal, a lunch meal.
Got it. Okay.
And it's just conversation, trending topics. We'll have guests either come in physically to be interviewed and or, but they're still discussing whether they like something or don't like something.
Okay.
But it's not as like Sarah, like it or
It's
not. Yeah, right,
Like It or
right.
Not moves. It moves. I mean,
Yeah. So
I
this is a little, deeper on, and not necessarily heavy issues. It'll be like the Emmys. What'd you think of Jimmy Kimmel? Or, and then they'll talk about it. Or, anyway, so out of the gate, great start. Tremendous staff putting it together. And then we have one more coming, a 3 p.m. Date to be named.
Okay. All right, Patrick Paolini, you are going to what was the goal? What are you going to, like, I don't know, 400 hours a week of coverage?
So once the 3 p.m. launches, and then there'll be a digital hour version of that, a streaming version. It'll an hour of the preceding hour, but we're going to launch the actual linear version, for lack of the actual broadcast version. And then once we get that up and running, we'll do the digital version. We'll be up to almost 100 hours a week of original programming. Yeah,
Oh my
most in the country.
God. Are you really?
That would be very, I mean, again, we haven't surveyed all the stations, but I believe that would be pretty close to tops, if not the most
Wow.
original program produced by a local TV station in the country.
Okay, wait a minute. Say it again. So the 3 p.m. show, wait, can you reveal what it's about yet or no?
Yeah, it's called the DMV Zone.
The DMV zone. Okay.
So it's think TMZ, think TMZ, think the Five, the View-ish, but also then if you watch ESPN, some of the shows that kind of debate, certain sports issues, but this would be issues facing either the nation or the DMV. A little bit more newsy.
Okay.
Certainly a little bit more newsy on the topics. It's gonna have a host and then like a side person co-host-ish, but it's going to be actually shot not in the studio. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, all right. And we are moving locations. Oh my gosh. Wow.
So, yeah, we're real excited about it.
Patrick,
date,
look at
date to
you.
be announced.
Okay.
I mean, I know the date. Don't want to say it yet because we want to make sure we're ready before I say the date. Yeah. So originally we were going to call it the DMVZ, like TMZ.
Oh, okay.
But legal said for some reason we had to call it the DMV zone.
You say it's good to be me. I think it's good to be Patrick. I mean, look, they built you this incredible new building, and now
it's good to be. It's honestly good to be my news creative service staff because they make it happen. I mean, like, all kidding aside, I don't say that just to say that they you know, we come up with these concepts or ideas, and we know we have to do local programming. It's our future. Syndicated programming is drying up. We have to be able to own the inventory, be able to stream this stuff, live stream, create streaming content, connect to TV content. And yeah, it's where we have to head. And I, you know, thank goodness we've built the staff here that can pull it off. I mean,
it's a lot of work, but you have great people.
The view's an hour show and it has 400 people.
I know.
Right? We do 10 views a day with half that number. So
you have incredibly talented.
I get it's national and blah, blah, blah. But my point is local TV stations, not just us, other stations in this market, other stations around the country do yeoman's work every single day, both covering news and then trying to get creative with different types of genres. But you know, once these two shows are up and running, well, one is ready, the other one, what I love about it is it's not just news. Like, we'll have three and a half hours a day of non-news.
Wow.
Programming, right? That's just pure, entertainment or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, so anyway, and you're part of one, like it or not, which is great. So
yeah, I love that show. You guys do great. You do amazing program. And look, I mean, you know, we obviously rail on media sometimes on this podcast in general, but what gives me hope is, like, I know, and you do too, journalists like Bob Barnard, who have worked for you for years, and
yeah,
Melanie Always. I mean, these people are amazing. They are, like, doing non-bias, like, real. Tom Fitzgerald, I mean, Jim Loca, I could name almost, I mean, everybody that works for you. So it's, that gives me hope. Like, I mean, they are not out there with an agenda. They are out there really seeking to do work that helps the community.
Well, and also, we are very fortunate, and it was obviously strategic. We've hired very talented people who can multitask, and they could be a traditional reporter and anchor. And then they also can be on Like It or Not or one of these other shows. And they also have the ability to walk that line where, you know, you got to be careful, you know, right, from a news, and not to cross that so-called, you know, whatever that line is. I think that line gets, you know, squished in the sand a little bit at times. But
no, but you got – no, I think to your credit, to the people that work for Fox 5, I mean, they really do a good job. I think they don't make it, you know, I know what you're saying. Like, you know, it doesn't become,
you know,
like,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. You don't want it to become like cartoon. You know what I mean? They're journalists,
no,
but then
no,
they're over here, you know, tee hee. It's like, it,
yeah,
no,
right. Yeah. Exactly.
They really
or,
walk the
you
line.
Know, endorsing candidates.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Right.
You can't do that. Yeah. And be taken seriously as a journalist. Yeah. Okay, Patrick, we've covered a lot. Oh my God.
Oh,
poor
yeah,
Victoria.
That's long. Victoria's going to kill us today.
I know. She has other things to do, but not on Wednesdays.
I think Victoria needs to make an appearance on one of our podcasts.
Honest to God, I was thinking the same thing. She really does. I'm like, this woman is so
I think next week
Victoria
should be on the podcast.
Oh, that would be great, because I would love to know from her, like, does she enjoy listening to us?
No, I can tell you right now, we know that answer.
Has she thought about retiring or quitting?
Has she thought about assigning this job to an intern?
Yeah, exactly. Can you
Does she drink while she listens to this
I
podcast?
Know, yep, I want to know that too. I want to know that too. All
does
right.
she even listen or just approve it and hope I get in trouble?
Yeah, is she secretly hoping we'll end the show? Yeah. All right, where do people find you?
Patrick, GM, Fox 5 DC.
We'll see you next week, Patrick.
Sorry, enjoy LA.
I will. I am loving it. Okay.
All right. Bye.